It's good to have you here today, and I trust you're grateful for another day of life. I know I am, blessed beyond measure by the grace of God for my family and me. My desire for you is that you'll know Jesus Christ and love Him sincerely and deeply all the days of your life. And yesterday, when we left off, we had heard the words of Jesus in the parable He told in the staggering story in Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. Through the use of a parable used regularly by Jesus to teach deep spiritual truth, He made the claim that when He comes again, He comes in judgment against sin and sinner. Our sin never escapes the watchful eye and knowing knowledge of the power of God. He sees all, even the sin we consider hidden, that we think only we know about, God knows. God knows everything. He knows all of us better than we know ourselves. And so He sent His one and only Son, Jesus, into the world that first time on a mission of grace to take away the transgressions of those who accept His sacrifice for their sins. But Christ is coming again. We call this His second coming. And when He does, at a time never disclosed to us, He comes on a mission of judgment to condemn unrepentant sinners, the Christ rejectors. I know such people. You do too. And isn't it heartbreaking to us that loved ones of ours are separate from Christ by their sin, and thus far have refused His offer of divine grace? I know I am repeatedly saddened by this as I pray for family members and friends to receive Christ, to know Christ, to worship Him with all their being, as we who are in Christ already do. This is why I want to start today with prayer. Please join with me if you're a praying person. O Lord our God, we come before You today because of the loving grace of Jesus, and we ask for Your mercy to continue towards people we love who are not yet living in a secure relationship with You. We pray they all might hear the good news of Your coming to pay the penalty for sin again this day, and that this time they will hear the gospel, they will believe it. Give them the gift of faith, O God. We pray that they will have been among those that You chose from before the foundation of the world to have saving faith. Father, strengthen and encourage us to never give up on loving them, even when it is incredibly hard to do so. We pray that this day we will be a godly witness to them in how we live. Forgive us for the times we've been a poor witness to You. You are coming again. This is what we've been learning in this little phrase in Revelation 1. He is coming with the clouds. Thank You for giving us hope in the future. We, Your people, look forward with great anticipation to the day of Your return to the earth, when You will establish Your millennial rule. But until that day, put us again on mission for You to the lost souls who roam around in our homes, offices, schools, towns, and cities, and yes, even sadly in our churches. We pray for them. Thank You for hearing our prayer, and we trust that You will answer. In the name of Jesus the Savior, amen. When we speak biblically about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we speak generally of this in two ways. First, the humiliation of Christ, and second, the exaltation of Christ. Humiliation and exaltation. Again, speaking generally, when we look back at the first coming of Jesus, we read extensively about His humiliation. He was humbled. Yet, when we read about the future second coming of Jesus, we read extensively about His exaltation. He will be exalted. It is impossible for us to think that the last this world will see of Jesus is Him dying upon the wooden cross. No. His resurrection and ascension gives us a sweet foretaste of what? His return. This will be a triumphant, glorious, magnificent, and celebrated return. He is coming again. The Bible says it, and I, for one, believe it. I know many of you do, too. When I pause to think about Christ's humiliation and then of His exaltation, I am, of course, drawn to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. Paul loved the believers there very much, and they just adored him. Philippians is a New Testament book that is well worth your extensive study and memorization. It's chock full of many of the verses most Christians cherish. There's a down-to-earth, practical, life-in-the-real-world style to this letter of St. Paul's. I commend it to you. Please do read it. And in the second chapter, he is writing to the Christians at Philippi about humility. And in verse 5, he points the believers to Jesus Christ as the premier example of what it means to live a humble life. Listen now to Philippians chapter 2. I will read verses 5 through 8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. This speaks plainly to the humiliation of Christ. And then as we continue to read, beginning in verse 9 and going down through verse 11, Paul then writes of the exaltation of Christ. I continue the reading in Philippians 2 and verse 9 now. For this reason also God highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that, in just 7 verses, Paul the Apostle lays out for us in very readable fashion the truth that Christ was humiliated in his first coming, but will be exalted in his second coming. Hereon God is, we are taking these in the reverse. By spending significant time here in the early months of January and February in the revelation of Jesus Christ, we are really meeting the exalted Christ. This is the nature of Christ described by Paul to the Philippians in verses 9 through 11. But when we get ready for Easter in an upcoming series, I anticipate us going back to the Gospels and the life of Christ to meet the humbled Christ. This is who Paul describes in verses 5 through 8. So stay tuned. Do not miss any of this time together. We'll be looking at Jesus in his humiliation and his exaltation. But the purpose of our time together this week is to look at the second coming of Christ. And so I want you to see the differences between who Christ is when he's first on earth and who Christ is when he returns to this earth. For example, in Philippians 2 and verse 7, Paul writes that Jesus emptied himself. That's humility. Here before us is God. Jesus is God. God is Father, Son, that's Jesus, and Spirit. But when Christ is born of the Virgin Mary, he becomes man. He empties himself of some element of his divine glory in order to live as we live, while never, ever sinning. I always want to be clear. Jesus never sinned. He's the one perfect person. But then when we read ahead down to verse 9 of Philippians 2, we read, God exalted highly. God highly exalted Jesus. And in verse 11, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Aha! So there is a sweet movement from humility to acclaim, from disdain to worship. In verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Imagine that. Close your eyes if you aren't driving and ponder this. It's mind-blowing. Here's God the Son, and he intentionally and by joyful choice leaves heaven and comes to earth. He humbles himself, and what happens to him? Instead of being worshipped for the Lord that he is, he's murdered. His fellow human beings kill him. He's crucified on the cross. Can you get a sense for how degrading this is to God? I often do not think we get it, truly get it. Believers do not spend anywhere near enough time in the Scriptures reading about and contemplating the shame of our suffering Savior. Have you considered deeply the abasement of Christ that he endured for you? Do you take lightly his sacrifice for your sins? This is something I'm personally wrestling with as I prepare to speak to you about his death near Good Friday. I'm under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for too easily glossing over the shame of Christ in favor of my own freedom from judgment on my sin because of what he has done for me. I'm thinking selfishly about the benefits of his death for me without thinking about what this cost him. For example, on Easter weekend, most of us cannot wait for Sunday morning. We endure the Good Friday service so that we can get to the Resurrection Day service. But to pause, to be sober-minded about Christ's humiliation, is an exercise well worth doing. But with one final look, for today anyway, at Philippians 2 and the exaltation of Christ, we read this in verses 10 and 11. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ah, yes, God has exalted Christ, and this Jesus will return to the earth and rule in judgment on sin and in power over people alive during his millennium. Note the word every. We did that just a little while ago when I used Philippians 2 in a recent broadcast. As I said then, I say again, every means every. Every knee bows in humility. Every tongue confesses Christ in humility. Then we are all, every one of us humbled, while he is exalted. Then we are humbled. He is exalted. Hallelujah. How resplendent are the plans of God. Now remember, all of this teaching comes out of Revelation 1 verse 7. That's our campground, and we've done a few little day hikes out from there, but we always come back to our tent at night. And as we return there, we find that Jesus is coming, and he is coming with the clouds. Clouds. What can we learn about those? Actually, the Bible has quite a lot to say about clouds in both the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament. So if you'd like to learn about the meaning of clouds in the Bible, I hope that you'll come back tomorrow. Why don't you invite a friend to join you as together we continue to learn who God is.